Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises is due to Allah Azza wa Jalla, our sustainer, our provider, cherisher and nourisher, master of the day of judgment, owner and initiator and creator of everything that exists. Gee, we send peace and blessings upon Nabi Akram, Nuri Mujassam, Shahi Bani Adam, Ahmadi Mukhtar, Muhammad Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, upon his illustrious family and noble companions, Alayhim Ridwan. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You are watching the program called Reformation of the Ummah. Dear viewers, our discussion for this evening is the root of all evils, right? And what is that problem? What is that major problem that becomes the root of all problems in our lives? Everybody wants a solution for his problem or for her problem. Look at our mothers, our sisters, our brothers, our siblings, our cousins and family members, our relatives, our neighbors, our friends, people that we know, Mawlana Sahib. Mm. Each and every person somewhere down the line is affected with some sort of problem. And, these problems increase and they become greater and greater and greater. Mm. Others are affected by others hurting them, causing harm to them, difficulties to them. There are some out there who are involved in such evils that has corrupted the entire society, Mawlana Sahib. Mm. Backbiting, deceiving, cheating, murdering, and such horrible gunas and sins are taking place that have caused families to split apart, has caused the rishta of husband and wife to even break, Mawlana Sahib. And there are things that drive a person to commit those sins, Mawlana Sahib. You know, there are so many evils of society that we see around us. All the time.
Absolutely.
All the time. And sharam ki baat ye hai, the shameful thing is that whether it's UK, South Africa, whether it's any country in the world you go to, Mawlana Sahib, Muslims to be indulged in these activities is not acceptable, Mawlana Sahib.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because we have guidance from Islam. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, Islam came as that guiding light for us. So for us to be involved in things that Islam has already prohibited for us, That is a very shameful thing. We do know that others that may not have guidance, that they haven't entered the deen of Islam, they don't have the same guidance that we have. And they, if they go into misguidance, it's sort of understandable. However, they should come towards guidance. But when a Muslim who has the Quran, who has the hadith, who has ilm al-deen with them, alhamdulillah, in our societies, if someone themselves is not alim of the deen, does not know all the masail, but there are people within society that can assist you. And with all of that guidance, to still fall into these traps, we've got crimes and evils like crime in society. I think in many countries in the world, it's rife. We don't have to pinpoint any country, but really, throughout the world, crime has become rife. Fraud has become rife. Even problems within the homes, separation of husband and wife has become rife, talaq taking place. The lack of tarbiyah given to children, that parents are not giving as much training to their children, they're not even giving that much time to their children, and thus children are growing up with their own influences, and then they're moving towards crimes like drug abuse, substance abuse. They're moving towards alcoholism, that many are becoming alcoholics, and you know the list of these evils just goes on and on. Muslim societies and non-Muslim societies, we are seeing that these evils, so many evils, are spreading like wildfire, and it's continuing. Sometimes we really need to sit back and think that, where does all this just stem from?
Allahu Akbar. And the worst part is, Mawlana Sahib, that it's not coming to an end, right? We look at the condition of the youth of today, and this concern actually growing every single day. I am myself concerned about these matters, that how, do you put a stop to these evils of the society? And though the responsibility of each person is to find a solution to those problems. I mean, in our homes, if there's some problem, as a husband, or as a sister or wife of the family, the person, that individual, will take responsibility to find the root cause of the problem.
Absolutely.
So why are we like this? As Maulana Sahib had stated, dear viewers, that we have Quran as our guidance. This world is a place where you and I have been sent to. Every human that has been sent to the planet had been sent for a specific task and purpose. Others have forgotten the purpose because they have no guidance, but Islam has provided the guidance so that you do not wander like others from here and there. Lekin, with all of this, dear viewers of Madini channel, there is that one thing that causes others to cause these evils, to perform these evils. If there's theft happening, robbery is happening, what is the root cause for all of these issues and matters that we face in our lives, dear viewers? Allahu Akbar. Let's focus on the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will give us a solution for why are we stuck in this problem. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in the hadith, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. Love for the world is the root of every sin. Allahu Akbar. So whoever has fallen in love with the world, and if the love of the world has trapped that person very badly, thus, Maulana Sahib, evils are committed. Because once Absolutely. A person wants a portion of the world, he would do anything for it.
Absolutely. Maulana Sahib, as you're mentioning this narration, I'm thinking of the various evils we have in society. Mm. And you just see that it's so true that the love for the dunya is at the center of all of these evils.
Allah.
If we look towards like the difficulties we were discussing now, crime in so many countries, it's love for the world, love for worldly wealth. Mm. If we look towards substance abuse, it's love for worldly comforts or love for certain states, you know, to fulfill one's desires. Mm. If you look towards lack of tarbiyah to children, it's because parents are too occupied in love for the world.
Allah, Allah.
And thus they don't give time to their children. Mm. Really, when you start to diagnose, you start to dissect each of the evils, you find that in some way or the other, love for the world is sitting at the center of every one of these evils. Mm. How true is the statement of Rasulullah
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. So, Maulana Sahib, just keep that statement in view, right?
Right.
And we just need to get some things in order by the end of the program, inshallah, right. Azzawajalla, because these are solutions for the problems, right? What is a criterion to know that this person has the love of the world in his heart? How does a person determine this, that the love of the world has entered this person's heart? Because look, we would believe that every person out there needs money.
Right.
Each and every person needs wealth to sustain himself in the dunya.
Mm-hmm.
And thus a person works hard.
Right.
So if a person who's working hard and he's told that do not fall in love with the world, but he's giving chunk of his time to the world,
right.
Waking up from after Fajr, having a bath, shower, having a quick breakfast and rushing to the office means you got to perform for the day.
Yes.
And then you're locking up in the afternoon, 5 o'clock, that's the time you clock out when you are tired and fatigued. It means in 24 hours, you have given bulk of the time for the dunya.
It's right.
But a person says, well, I'm working because I got bills to pay. I've got sick parents, I've got family, I'm married, I've got children, and Allah has commanded me to feed my family,
very
to look
true,
after
true.
My family. But now, how do you say that the love of the world is the cause of the problem when this person is working for the dunya? You can see his time is for the world itself.
Very true. Actually, I think that, and this is an important question, right. What Manasa mentioned now. That same, everyone needs to do it, isn't
right.
it? Like,
right.
Meaning in each family, you're going to have at least someone that has to go out, that needs to work, needs to earn,
right.
and fulfill the needs of that family. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. This working and striving so that you can earn, so that you may have some portion of the dunya, this too our scholars have divided into categories. So I'm just going to very briefly mention these categories. The one is that you strive for the world so that you can fulfill your needs and your responsibilities, as well as give your excess in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first category, and this is a beautiful category, that you strive, you work, because the Sharia, Islam, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to strive and work.
Right.
You shouldn't just sit back and then just expect that, you know, wait for handouts that people should give us and people should support us. No, we must work,
right.
we must strive, we must do what
right.
we can do.
Right.
So this is beautiful, this is good, alhamdulillah. Then you have the next category where people just work and strive for the dunya just because of greed for dunya. That means they just love the dunya, they're enjoying it, and for their own enjoyment and for their own greed, they tend to continue in this direction. Now this too is not good.
Right.
As long as someone, but if someone stays within the parts of Islam in such a way that they don't earn through haram means, and they also spend only in that which is halal, then alhamdulillah, they haven't you know, strayed very far. However, the accountability is going to be very difficult. Then you look at the third category, that those that say by hook or by crook, I'm going to get it. That no matter what, I need to get it because I have this yearning to show off, to have a lot, to show that I'm better than others, show that I have more than others. And this is highly, highly detrimental.
Achcha.
So these would be, I would say, the three major categories. And so if you fit within the first category, that you are working in order to fulfill your needs, and you're working in order that you can fulfill the needs of your family members, those who are your dependents, and then you also want to give sadaqah in the path of Allah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, actually such type of work, such type of striving is loved in Islam to the extent, the extent that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the one who goes out to earn rizq halal, to provide for his children, to provide for his family, to look after his elderly parents, such a person, when he leaves to earn that rizq, he's in the path of Allah.
Kya baat hai Madine ki, subhanallah. So it's all about the niyat, Mulana Sahib.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We learn that, look, earning money is not ihsan.
Yes.
If it's done through lawful means.
Yes. But at the same time, whilst earning and whilst working, we need to also ensure that the love for that same wealth doesn't enter the heart.
That's so this is the next question, Mulana Sahib, that how does a person trust his nafs? Because there are lots of people out there, including all of us, right? We have necessities attached. Yani har insaan ke saath zaruriyat judi hui hai.
Right.
Zaruriyat and necessities is attached with each and every person, small or big. Everybody got needs and wants, and people got to make means, ends meet.
Right.
And then a person says, well, if I get this business up and rolling, I will come out of this problem. If I get one business, this one click, I need to sell this one car, I need to sell this one home, one property, it'll take me out of this difficulty. Fine, he's trying to get things rolling on his side.
Alhamdulillah.
And on the other hand, a person is, you know, having long in meetings to make his business prosper.
Yes.
And when it comes true, when that efforts that he has put in turns out to become fruitful for that person, then you see people turning their backs upon what niyats they made, Mulana Sahib.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is actually one of the ways to that shows us already that the love for the dunya has entered the heart. That when someone, you know, wanted to earn in order to fulfill the needs, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin, no problem, it's good to strive. Then you make certain niyat with it. That if this does work out, then I will do this. People have this, it's a beautiful thing. That if the, you know, I'm going to strive for it to work out, and inshallah, if it works out, I want to give this much sadaqah in the path of Allah. I want to build a masjid. I want to partake in the building of a masjid. I want to look after a madrasa. These beautiful intentions. But when things do work out, that's the point at which we start to see a little bit of a shift. That's the point at which we start to see that the same niyat that we had at the beginning, now people start to turn away from it. And they turn away not only in a way that, you know, no, I don't have the niyyah anymore. Life gets busy. Things get busy. Things will come up. As long as you allow for things to come up, if the door is open, they will come up. And you will spend in other paths. And then your intentions are, then you realize that, the intention was to also give in the path of Allah, but now I don't have that. So it does happen that way. Therefore, one of the beautiful things to do as well, to ensure that love for it is not in your heart, is that when it works out, before you fulfill anything else, fulfill your intention of giving in the path of Allah.
Yeah, but
that shows, that will show you yourself a point that first is in the path of Allah and then is for myself. And then you'll prove it to yourself, inshallah. But otherwise, if you allow for things to just happen and things to occur to you and expenses to come and fulfill everything, and the last is I'll spend in the path of Allah, that means if I have some excess, I'll spend in the path of Allah. Shaitan will push us into fulfilling desires that won't leave any excess. And then when will you spend in the path of Allah?
So it doesn't materialize. It doesn't come true.
Unfortunately.
Alhamdulillah. So this is one thing determined, right? So now we understand that what are the signs and the symptoms of having love of the dunya? We haven't discussed symptoms itself, but eventually when a person chases the world to get some money to sustain his family, then when abundance of wealth enters into his custody, and he now understands how easy it is to make money, right? For some people, it's very easy to make money. I have met brothers who told me, Abrez bhai, I was born to make money. I have met people who said this to me, that his purpose of existence is to make money. Allahu Akbar. Yet the Quran has explained to us the purpose of our existence, right? Anyways, when we see the lives and we look into the lives of such people,
right,
their day and nights are dedicated to build money, to increase their bank balance, to make more and more and more. So what happens, Maulana Sahib, that you don't feel shy to miss your salah, you don't feel any regret, because why? You missed one salah, the time of Asr elapsed, the time of Maghrib have come in, but when you count that money off, you saw, oh, 10,000 extra today, it gives comfort to the heart.
Mm.
So that 10 grand over missing Asr Salah was actually something not very big for the
Rasulullah said that the one who misses his Salatul Asr, and that's a busy time in your life. Almost everyone has that as such a busy time. Rasulullah said the one who misses Salatul Asr, he is like the person who has lost his family and his wealth.
Allah.
And if we look at a little bit more I earned, and that gave me comfort to my heart, that okay, I missed the salah, but at least I got something, really we've gotten nothing. But this does happen, that the moment as people are going into earning and into enjoying seeing money roll, you know, just for the fun of it, it becomes an enjoyment, that we're just entertained by this, that you know, money is rolling and it's coming in, and there comes a point at which people start earning to fulfill their need. And then they continue earning to fulfill their greed. Start earning to fulfill their need, and they continue earning to fulfill their greed. You will find that once the need is fulfilled, why don't we take out some time and do some ibadah? It's because now the greed kicked in, doesn't it? Once the greed kicks in, now you can't quench that thirst.
Yeah, but
it just goes on, the thirst.
It doesn't stop, Mulana Sahib.
Thus,
I'm just thinking about the statements of our pious predecessors. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi had brought the empire of Islam to unparalleled heights.
Absolutely, subhanAllah.
Just in a matter of 2 years.
Yes.
And he had stated that strive for the world for as long as you live in it. He gave the criteria, Mulana Sahib. Somebody may have asked him that how much of efforts should be put into the dunya. Look at the answer he has given. He says, strive for the world for as long as you live in it, and strive for the hereafter for as long as you are to live in it.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. So you already know that the hereafter is there, and it will be for as long as Allah wills.
Allah.
Likewise with the dunya, but the dunya has a countdown.
Yes.
The days are numbered, Mulana Sahib. You know, Allah knows best in His divine knowledge when will the last day be. But look at the statement made. Strive for the world for as long as you live in it, and strive for the hereafter for as long as you are to live in it. Allahu Akbar. So if a person knows that, you know, if a person goes in the hellfire without iman, hum fiha khalidun, Mulana Sahib, he will remain in it forever. So the hereafter is for when, until Allah wills, and thus if you are there, if you're going to be there for a longer while, this world is temporary as compared to the hereafter, then your effort should be in for that world and not for this world. But the love of this world and the fears of this world has entered into the hearts of people, the fear of not having salary paid, the fear of not getting your bills paid, the fear of people going to phone you and ask you for this and for that, the fear of not being able to provide that one meal my wife and my children will demand and I'm unable to provide, and then my wife might want to leave me, my family will say to me, oh, it's a competition. Yani, the person has money that 7 generations can eat off that money, but still, I am still going to make more and more and more until my last breath, because I got many more generations to come thereafter.
There's too many.
They have taken the contracts to feed them, Mulana Sahib. It seems as if, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I don't want my generations to ever work. I'm going to build so much for them that the next 10 generations from now will survive off what I'm going to earn for them. Our feet gets dusty, we would dust our feet. Dust na ajaye. It's dust, it's sand. Just like the sand, one day our bones will be crumbled into the very same soil when we are buried, Mulana Sahib. No namo nishan of the person that even existed on this planet. But the dunya's love is so powerful, so magnetic. It is so attractive, Mulana Sahib, that though the person knows that not every happiness lasts forever, nor does every sadness last forever, but the effects of the sadness last for a longer while than the happiness itself. Though you know you were happy for a moment, but the happiness lasted for a few hours and then you're over. But the sadness can drag you for weeks and for months and put you in depression.
Absolutely.
Because you want dunya, you want the problem to come right. We aren't trusting Allah Azza wa Jalla with our affairs, yet He has stated in the Holy Quran, وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ.
Absolutely.
Allah Azza wa Jalla to content our hearts and to give us the guidance to come out of this taklif and problem. Because He Azza wa Jalla knows in His divine wisdom that majority of the dunya will be stuck in this problem. Thus Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed ayat to console your heart. When you lose something, recite Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. For what? Not only when you have a death in your family. The reason for this is for you to remember that we have come from Allah and to Him only we shall return. Keep reminding yourself this, that nothing is mine, everything is Allah's. If you did not make that money that you needed today or in this month, don't lose trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Don't allow for that muhabba and love to enter in your heart, because once it enters, a son doesn't see that this is my father. He would lift his hands on his father.
Yes.
Once that love will enter into your heart, you would not see that's my mother. We have seen evil stuff happening to parents out there. Once a love has entered the heart, he would not think this is my cha-cha and my chachi, my uncle, and I'm supposed to show respect. The love will increase him and take him to such heights that he will become oblivious of all of this.
And
he will become blinded.
Munasab, we've seen it. If you look towards, what is the number one cause,
yes,
I would say, that if you just look within society,
yes,
number one cause of separation between siblings, that siblings that grew up together, loved each other, they'll stand for each other, but at the same time, as time goes on, you find the same siblings don't want to make salam, don't want to
Allah
see each other, because some business deal didn't.
Yes.
This is a sign of love for dunya, that Allah, we've taken the love for the world and we've placed it over the brotherhood that we have. And this world itself, what is it worth? Mawlana Sahib mentioned now very clearly that the reality of this dunya is so less, it's so useless, it's so cheap, it's something that's not worth anything. Such that when dunya is shown in the form of an old woman, then nobody wants to go near it, everyone stays away. It's because then we realize the reality of it. Whilst in dunya, then it looks very beautiful, because dunya is decorated, it's like that. Dunya is decorated. Remember, evil looks very nice. Evil looks very lovely. It's just decorated. But the one who knows its reality, then they refrain from it because they understand its reality. I've got this beautiful example that, let's say for example, you have two people and someone makes a halwa. Halwa is a sweet dish. We say halwa. So someone makes a sweet dish. Lovely, very tasty, scrumptious sweet dish. If you place it before two people, both of them will desire it. But now, if one person wasn't looking and one person was looking, and in the preparation of that halwa, some poison was added in the center, added into the halwa. Now you close it up nicely. As wonderful as it smells, as tasty as it may be, as much as it may make the person's mouth water, now you place it before the same two people, one who saw the poison put in, and the other who didn't see the poison put in.
Allah.
And now you say, the one who didn't see the poison put in, he wants the halwa. And the one who saw the poison put in, tell him it's very tasty. Does he want it? No. Tell him it's. Let him smell it. It smells lovely. Does he want it? No. Because he understands the reality of it. The one who has ma'rifah, understanding, recognition of the reality of it, then that person sees the ugliness and he doesn't want to go near it, no matter how many jewels you put on top of it. And the one who doesn't understand the reality, you put a little bit of decoration, and then he falls.
Allah,
the pious sulaha-i kiram understood the reality of dunya, that which the rest of the people, the rest of us will see on mahshar. They understood it whilst they were living in dunya. And thus it was easy for them to push away. And it becomes difficult for us because we hear the reality, but it hasn't entered the heart. This is the reality of it is not beauty. And we go in with the little excuses that I need to earn. Alhamdulillah, you must earn, but don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself that I'm just going to get in and I'm going to do what I need to and then I'm going to get out. I'm going to put my heart into it and then after that I'll get it out of my heart. Remember, this is the same story that everyone who fell into substance abuse started with.
Achha.
It's the same story that every alcoholic started with. Once a bus, I just need just one sip and then one bottle and then two bottles and then one case. And substance abuse, it's one drug and two drugs and then they can't live without it.
Allah.
So don't
so money is like a nasha, you say, it's intoxication.
Yes, it's just like that. You're going to, when you start to taste it and you start to feel, okay, the need is fulfilled. And then you trust yourself so much that, no, I haven't let it get in my heart. This beautiful comparison is given by the Sulaha-i Kiram. Dunya, the wealth of the world, the comforts of the world is like salt water. The comforts of the dunya, of the world, is like salt water. As much as you drink of it, you become more thirsty.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
As much as you drink, you become more thirsty. Allah, it's Allah, hard Allah, to put Allah, a stop. Allah. It's hard to say that my heart no longer desires the comforts. When you feel it, you don't desire the soft bed until you sleep in it. After that, you don't want to get up.
Allahu Akbar. So basically, a person cannot trust his nafs, right?
Absolutely.
And you can never say that it's enough, because it's never enough, Mulana Sahib. It's never enough. I have never heard a businessman saying it's enough. I have never heard. I have heard businessmen, even after turning in their businesses into millions and millions, every year they will say, this year is my last year. I'm closing up this year. But responsibilities pile up, Mulana Sahib.
Imagine if we said, this year is my last year of my life.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
How things would change. We always say, my last year in work, my last year in business, my last year in this wrong. What if we just changed that statement and said, this year is my last year of my life. I'm taking it like that. That this year, by the end of this year, my mouth is coming. How that year will change? It's just
no. The person will, of course, work towards that, because he knows it's his last.
Absolutely.
As a human in the earth. So he would then, of course, strive to make his Allah happy, his Rabb happy, to please Allah Azza wa Jalla.
SubhanAllah.
Yes, Mawlana Sahib, you know, this is a very tricky situation, and I'm just contemplating over the fact that we have the situation on hand, and every single day, millions of people are tricked into this, Mawlana Sahib. You know, the ayat in the Quran that speaks about, do not let this world deceive you as others were deceived.
Absolutely.
You know, don't waste your time. Every person who comes in this world from a small age, from a small child, and you go through four phases of life. You go through childhood, then you go to youthful days, then you go to prime adulthood, then you go to late adulthood, and then it's old age. Old age thereafter. Your childhood, you spent playing at home. Youth was spent playing with your friends. Prime adulthood was spent in heedlessness. Late adulthood was spent in making money in the world. And then when old age comes, then what are you going to do? Allahu Akbar. All of our life was spent making money for the dunya, for the world. And then such children are taught, Mawlana Sahib, from a little age, that son, when you grow big, you should do this business, because this work and this profession has more money, more potential, more scopes out there. You can travel the world. You'll do this, you'll do that. So from bachpan, lazzat and taste of the dunya is given to the children. They taste it. See that one driving that car. See that one living at that home. Son, do you want something like that? Chase for this. Now, love for the world is instilled in our children's heart. When the same child kicks such parents and put them in an old age, then they come crying. I made my son a doctor. You never made him a doctor. You made him a greedy person. You never made your son an engineer. You made him a greedy person.
True.
You taught him how to become greedy. Don't chase paisa. You're not supposed to chase the money. You're not supposed to chase the falus. You're not supposed to chase the wealth of the world. This will come to you automatically, because why? Allah Azza wa Jalla has made the wealth of the world even subservient to those who are obedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Absolutely.
The wealth of the world will come to your feet before you even ask for it, because rozi depends upon the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's only your effort that you got to put into whatever you do. The results of it is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He is the one who will give you the results for your hard work. Why do you want to give yourself the marks for what you are doing? So do the efforts, put in the hard work, leave the rest to Allah Azza wa Jalla. When the loved ones who come into your heart, chase it back away from you. Now look at what Shaitan says. لَأَقْعُدَنَّكَ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ He dared to promise Allah Azza wa Jalla that I will wait for the righteous people on the righteous path. I will wait on the straight path, صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمِ, and I will attack from the front, from behind, from the right, from the left, from above. Shaitan is waiting to attack us, and we are trusting our nafs. When money was invented, Shaitan kissed money. And he placed upon his eyes and he said, well, I have found the tool to get to human beings.
Absolutely.
And this is the same tool we want to trust and say, well, I will earn as much as I want without violating anyone's rights. This is the test that Allah sent you to this planet and gave you some wealth. Some people who are rich, Mawlana Sahib, that's a test from Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Absolutely.
Some who are poor, this is also a test from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Why you are poor? Allah knows why you are poor. Allah knows best if He had given you wealth, what you would have become with that wealth. And Allah knows very well why He never made that poor, why He never made that rich man become a poor person, despite all the wrong he's doing in his life. It happens like that. Allah knows why. When He is the one who increases for whomever He wishes, He never say, I increase it based on your mihnat. Wallahu yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab. When Allah increases for whomever He wishes and desires, He never put a statement or anything in brackets, Mawlana Sahib, that no, depending on the hard work of the person. You become a wali through extra worship, through extra nawafil, but Allah decides to make somebody mother zat wali, wali from the womb of his mother. This is also possible, dear viewers, without any mihnat. Allah Azza wa Jalla decides to Allah wills. Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is upon His rahmat and His mercy.
Absolutely.
Whomsoever He wishes to give the riches of this world and the akhirah to, dear viewers, He will give it to that person. But now we have forgotten our mission on this planet because of simply chasing the world so much that we are so blinded, Munana Sahib, and now it's a time for solutions. That now that we know, okay, right, love for the world means a person is greedy, he leaves his salah, he misses jamaat half the time, he doesn't perform virtuous deeds, and the heart is never inclined towards virtuous deeds. Such a person will always try to run away from bayans and lectures in the masajid. I don't need to hear this lecture, I don't need to know that, I don't need to know that. What is the solution for these problems, Munana Sahib? How do we get rid of this love?
I think number one solution, biggest solution, is the solution that was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone came to Huzurakum sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't know what's wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. And what is it that's wrong with me is that I don't feel like I want to die. I don't desire
death."
It's funny, if it was in our time, I think we would think that's normal for someone not to desire death. But this person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "There's something wrong with me because I'm supposed to desire death." We know from the hadith that death is the gift to the believer. That the believer desires his meeting his Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him advice that you must give sadaqah in the path of Allah. Take from your wealth, take from your hard-earned wealth, take from that which Allah has given you and give that in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Send it forward to your akhirah, because a person's heart is attached to his wealth, and if it is in the akhirah, then he will desire to go there.
Allah.
If it's within the dunya, if your wealth remains within the dunya, you will desire to be with it. And so, one of the biggest solutions, I would say, that to love for the dunya, if you want to get love for the dunya out and get love for the akhirah into your heart, start to spend your wealth, start to spend your expertise, spend whatever it is that Allah has blessed you with for the akhirah. And you will see that the shift of the heart will move away from dunya and start moving towards akhirah. Because now Allah Azza wa Jal gave me certain abilities. For the sake of Allah, I taught it to others. Allah gave me certain wealth. For the sake of Allah, I spent it in His path. Allah Ta'ala gave me certain strengths. For the sake of Allah, I used my strength in that part. For Allah gave me certain contacts. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I used my contacts to benefit the deen. So in that way, all of this I'm sending for the akhirah. Until you send so much for the akhirah, you wonder, why, you know, what am I still doing here? I need to be there. Like Allah Azza rahmatullah alayhi, He says, I sent everything to Madina Sharif. جانو دل ہوش و خرد سب تم مدینے پہنچے تم نہیں چلتے رضا سارا تو سامان گیا. You send everything, send everything for the akhirah until you realize it's just me left here, now I need to go. Subhanallah, this is a beautiful way of taking out the love for the world but replacing it with love for the hereafter.
MashaAllah, excellent Munana Sahib, MashaAllah. Acha, so for Islamic sisters out there who want to make sure that the children work hard, study hard, look, no one wants to suffer in this world.
Nope.
Nobody wants to be the one who's asking. Everybody wants to be in the state of giving.
Alhamdulillah.
Good thing. Few don't give, though they make niyat to give, it happens that shaitan plays again, as we said.
Yes.
That it's a niyat upon the person. That's Allah judges you by your niyat that you make, of course. And that's also hidden from us. Only Allah knows what's really in the heart. And Allah rewards a person accordingly. So if a person made niyat, we can see he made niyat. That's why he gave an amount. I want to build one masjid. I want to build a madrasa. I want to give donations here. He made niyat. He expressed his niyat. Now only Allah knows how pure that intention is. And Allah rewards his bandas accordingly, Mawlana Sahib, right?
True.
That's because when we see the money has come, why do people turn their backs upon their niyat? So that's why we say Allah knows best. We have no idea whether really it was a loss, it was a gain, whatever the case may be. But for parents out there who want to educate their children and give them good nasihat and advice, that they don't want their children to become greedy, but at the same time, they are trying to put in the importance of making money in the world. Without which you can't survive, you can't look after your family, you're going to be coming by us all the time, "Mommy, Daddy, I need money, I can't pay my rent money, I can't pay my bills over here." So there are parents out there who complain about this matter. What solution is there for educating the children
in a way that they are groomed without having love for dunya. I mean, the reason for saying this as well, Maulana Sahib, is of course based on ahadith and these narrations that you have mentioned. For those who have understood the purpose of their coming in this world and not falling in love with the wealth, through their stories we have understood how much they don't love the world. For example, Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, when he brought all his wealth and came, and when he was asked, what have you left for your family? He says, I have left Allah and His Rasul for my family, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This shows very clearly he has no love for the world. Like Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, when she was given, one narration says 100,000 dirhams were given to her, and she began distributing those dirhams to the poor of Madinatul Munawwara, the destitutes of Madinatul Munawwara, from the morning till the afternoon, evening, entire day she began distributing. In one narration, her khadima advised her and said to her, by the end of the day, when all of that money was distributed, have you left something for yourself? She says, you forgot to remind me. Had you told me, had you reminded me about this, then I would have kept something to open my fast with.
Allahu
Akbar. Yani that day she was fasting as well.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. If you follow this one riwayat, Mulana Sahib, she was fasting and she told her sister, had you told me about keeping something for myself, then I would have bought something for my iftar. But since you never tell me, no problem, I have distributed all the money. So this shows that there's no love for the dunya.
Mm.
Right? Whereas a person saves the rest, he keeps the best for himself and he gives that what is stale in sadaqah, what's torn in sadaqah, for example, what's broken in sadaqah, and all of that. Yes. And then he has bulk of it and gives as if he hasn't got in the path of Allah. Mm. So again, Allah is there to judge.
Subhanallah. Mulana Sahib, on this, the advices that we should give, like, you know, to parents and their parents towards children, because you want your children to strive, you want them to work hard, you want them to also be successful within the world as well, and you want them mainly to be successful in the akhirah. Two pieces of advice I'd share very briefly. The first piece of advice is, don't attach your children to money. Attach them to work.
Jabba.
Hard work, striving. The child must know, I need to strive. The wealth will come, how much is meant for me, Allah will give. But I must strive. Look for the need of the community, fulfill the need of the community. Yeah. Put in the hard work, Allah will give the wealth. One piece of advice. If you attach them to money and not the hard work, then you find the lazy children sitting and expecting everything to come to them. So one is, attach them to the work, fulfilling the needs of insan, fulfilling the needs of the community. And the second one, get your children's hands used to giving in the path of Allah. When you give them as well, make the niyat and teach them that I'm giving you this, you take the best of it, give in the path of Allah, then use. And when their hands are used to giving in the path of Allah, their hearts will be attached to the akhirah, so they can collect the rewards of all of those things. If we use these two principles, I'm very hopeful that inshallah, it will benefit us in growing up our children in such a way that they have dunya at their hands, but not in their hearts.
Not in their hearts. Very beautiful advice, Mulana Sahib. Let's we also make one dua. And before, after the dua, inshallah, we will move towards the kalam. Meri lafzo mein Shamsul Duha, inshallah, by Abu Zubair Attari, hafidhahullah. Lekin usse pehle, let's we make the dua which Amir al-Sunnat made in his beautiful kalam.
Subhanallah.
Na dunya de, na shohrat de, mujhe bas ye saadat de, na dunya de, na shohrat de, mujhe bas ye saadat de, aqa na daulat de, na shohrat de, mujhe bas ye saadat de, tere qadmon mein mar jaun main ro ro kar madine mein tere qadmon mein mar jaun main ro ro kar madine mein bula lo phir mujhe aisha hai baharo bar madine mein phir rota hua aao tere dar par madine mein.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shukran Mawlana Sahib for giving those wonderful solutions, especially for our children, inshallah azza wa jalla. We will discuss inshallah azza wa jalla further points as we are going to listen to this kalam. After we listen to this beautiful kalam, Mere lafzo mein shamsu duha. Inshallah, enjoy this kalam and we will be back for a few moments after this kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa Ya Rasul Allah, Ya Rasul Allah, Mere lafzon mein shams o duha hai, Mere lehje badro duja, mashale midhate Mustafa ho, mashale midhate Mustafa ho, har andhere ko main jagmaga do, aisi ek naat likhne ki ya rab mujhko taufeeq de, zindagi ایسی ایک نعت لکھنے کی یا رب مجھ کو توفیق دے زندگی میں ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگھاؤں ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگھاؤں ان کے قدموں کی آہٹ بتا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہو مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ جگمگا دوں وہ میری شاعری میرا فن ہے میں سخن ہوں وہ جان سخن ہے وہ میری شاعری میرا فن ہے میں سخن ہوں وہ جان سخن ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہی کا دیا ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہی کا دیا ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہی پر لٹا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا ہوں قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا ہوں یا لپٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے یا لپٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے یا قضا کو پھر اپنی صدا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہو مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہو ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں میری بخشش کا ساماں یہی ہے میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے میری بخشش کا ساماں یہی ہے میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر ان کی نعتیں انہیں کو سنا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہو مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہو ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب پہ کرے اسوائے مصطفیٰ میں ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب پہ کرے اسوائے مصطفیٰ میں مسکراؤں اگر سنگ بر سے مسکراؤں اگر سنگ بر سے ہر برے کو بھلی سے دعا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہو ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری ہدی ان کے قدموں کے نیچے کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری ان کے قدموں کے نیچے کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باہر کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باہر اس کی چادر بنا کر بچھا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
Don't live under the shade of what you've missed. Oh, I had such an investment, I wish I'd done it. If you didn't do it and you've missed the opportunity, you didn't do it because Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't give you the opportunity. It wasn't in your kismet, it wasn't in your destiny, it wasn't decreed for you. It's gone, it's finished. No use being sad over it. Pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Maybe the opportunity will come back again. But be patient. Don't live in nightmares about your son getting bad grades or if they get into trouble, your children get into trouble or anything that's happened. Move forward. What you should truly dedicate your time, effort, soul and energy to is obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. Gosh, we spent our days and nights worrying about the salahs we've missed. Worrying about the time that we wasted when we could have been reading the glorious Qur'an. Worrying about the fact that I don't read the translation of the Qur'an and I don't know what the Creator is saying to me. Worried about all the time and effort we've wasted in worldly matters, which are going to be of no use to us in our grave and in the hereafter. Worry about that. In the olden days, when somebody missed their salah, people used to go to their house for condolences. And the one who had missed his salah used to cry for days. That was true anxiety, true worry, and true fear. For them, that was the real calamity. Today, we cry over pounds and dollars and property and investments, but we never cry in the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can't return the sun to its place of setting. You cannot turn back time. By constantly dwelling over the tragedies of the past and everything that has happened, you put yourself in a very tragic and frightful state. And in that mindset, then you will create more problems for yourself. You will be bitter. You will be angry. You will be frustrated. So anybody who touches you, you're ready to shock. You're ready to blurt out anything. And normally it's not your character, but you're out of character because the shaitan has been replaying the events that happened yesterday, that didn't go according to your will, the events that happened last week, the tragedies of your childhood, and everything else. And what he's very cleverly done is this. He has blanked from your mind all of the good that's happened in your life, and suddenly sent messages and whispers of all the bad that's happened. The key to success, the key to living life to its fullest and fulfilling, it's a very short life. Very short life. The key to it is this. When you wake up in the morning, you don't expect to see the evening. Live your life to the full. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Don't worry that you starved yesterday. If you've got fresh bread and water on the table today, why worry about I starved yesterday? Why worry about, will I have bread tomorrow? You've got a meal in front of you. Enjoy it. The foolish ones, when they see the food in front of them, they grieve over yesterday. It's the foolish one who, when he has the blessings of Allah in front of him, is fearful of losing it tomorrow. The friends of Allah, the intelligent ones, thank Allah for the blessing in front of them. And they enjoy that blessing to its fullest. They don't get bogged down in anxieties. Their attitude is that my life is short and I've got to maximize it. Whatever happened yesterday is gone. The mistakes I've made have gone. I repent in the court of Allah. But today is my day. I'm going to protect my salah. I'm going to read the glorious Quran, even if it's 12 minutes. I'm going to read it with commentary and with translation. I'm going to learn a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today. Today, I'm going to read the Quran with a wakeful heart. Today, I'm going to be nice to my children. Today, I'm going to be nice to my parents. I'm going to serve my parents. Today, I'm going to be nice to my partner. Today, I'm going to organize my home. Why should my home be a mess? Today, I'm going to organize my office. Today, I'm going to make minutes into months. I'm going to organize everything so much that I can utilize every second of my day. And while I'm doing that, at the same time, I'm going to beg my Creator for forgiveness for my mistakes. This is what we need to do.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back, dear viewers. We heard the kalam as well as Madani Pearls via our Harun Attari hafidhahullah, mashallah. And we were speaking about the root of all evil, and that is the world. We were discussing how the world has affected people and the love of this world has tricked people, and what are the ways and what are other ideas that we could implement in order to refrain from the love of this world, how we could remove this love that has already perhaps maybe entered into our hearts, into our minds, and has ruined the peace of our lives, dear viewers. It is the world, it is the luxuries and the comfort of this world, which is temporary, is never going to last forever. But it gives us problems forever, dear viewers. For as long as you're going to live here, you will be surrounded with calamities and problems. We've got to learn ways and ideas how not to allow for those issues and matters to affect us in any way. And alhamdulillah, if there's any religion on this world, on this planet, that can give you solutions for your problems, it is Islam. It is this beautiful deen of Islam. So it comes with all problems, all solutions for every type of problem. And thus now at the end, we're taking some parting words from our honorable Mawlana Sahib. We assume to have little more time, but time is of the essence, Mawlana Sahib. If you could just give us some parting words, inshallah.
Subhanallah, if I may just share a little bit of a synopsis of what we've discussed.
Yes.
That we've discussed, alhamdulillah, the reality of the dunya, that the dunya isn't something beautiful. It only looks beautiful on the outside, but within, it is something which is poisonous, which can cause destruction. And so we need to refrain from it as best as possible, use from it according to our need and not according to our greed. Don't become greedy for the dunya. Rather, use as per your need. And if you want that, the love for dunya must not stay within the heart, it should leave the heart, then you need to replace it with love for akhirah. Because that gap shouldn't be left empty. When you remove the dunya from the heart, then place the akhirah within the heart. And the way to place the akhirah in the heart is to send as much as you can forth for the akhirah. Spend in the path of Allah. Do ibadat. Sacrifice in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Do as much as you can for the akhirah. And inshallah, the love for dunya will leave the heart. And the love for akhirah will be instilled in the heart.
Kya baat hai Madini ki, mashallah, Maulana Sahib. Shukran for joining us.
Amen.
For being part and parcel of the program as well, Amen. Mashallah. Beautiful Madini pearls I share. Dear viewers, leave you, reminding you the mission and the statement of this beautiful movement of Quran and Sunnah. This is our slogan. I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah.